Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so the new church year begins today. And the first Sunday of Advent, the season of coming, arrival, the season of expectation. And so we watch and wait and expect the coming of Jesus, our King. We long for His coming. We prepare for His arrival. And the name for this Sunday in the church year really summarizes every single Sunday in the church year and everything the church does when we gather together, especially on Sunday mornings in the divine service. Ad te levavi, to you I lift up my soul. What else do we do when we come here? Why else do we gather? But to lift up our soul to the one who comes each and every time we meet in word and sacrament with his real body and blood, and with his real gospel of comfort and life. We look up, he comes down. And so our King comes to us with his rebuke, with his correction, with his mercy, with his forgiveness, with his love, with his strength. Our King is always coming to us this way. He comes in those other ways too. He came, he will come again. Do you know what it's like to wait for someone who never comes? To wait and wait at school, at the door, waiting for your parents. Did mom and dad forget about me? To stand at the window in your house and watch the street for your loved one to come. And you pace back and forth waiting, and they don't come. To sit at a restaurant waiting for a friend or a date who said they would be there, but they don't show up. People are like that sometimes. But God never is. He says, I will come, and he comes every time. But he comes when he says. And how he says. He didn't tell Adam and Eve when he would come, but he told them that he would come. For 4,000 years, he told his people that he would come, but he didn't tell them when. He just said, watch, I will come. He gave them signs, prophecies to be fulfilled along the way, reassuring them, I haven't forgotten, I will come. Most gave up waiting, but not all. In today's gospel, we see the King fulfilling his promise to the daughter of Zion. Of course, by that time, by Palm Sunday, he had already fulfilled his promise before by coming into the virgin's womb, by being conceived of the Holy Spirit, by being born in human flesh. He had fulfilled his promise to come in preaching and teaching and healing. But it was all leading up to this. We're preparing now for Christmas, just 3 weeks and a day from now, for that coming from the Virgin's womb, for that birth of the Son of God. But Christmas, we celebrate because it was leading ahead, pointing forward to this day of Palm Sunday and the rest of the events of Holy Week when the King would come to the daughter of Zion. When he would come and ride up to the gates of Jerusalem for the battle between life and death, where death won a battle, but life won the war. The Spirit-inspired, Spirit-filled words of the gospel today take you back to that time. Take you back to the place where Jesus entered Jerusalem. It's like you're placed in front of the window where you stand and watch the road. But this time, someone is coming. And the prophet calls out to you, "Behold," and you look up, you look out, and you see, there he does, ride down the street on a donkey as he rides up again to the gates of Jerusalem. You get to be there. That's what the Spirit does through these words. He makes you part of the story so that it applies to you too. And Jesus comes to you too. The first words you have to understand in our gospel, in order for it all to make sense, are the words that St. Matthew quotes from the prophet Zechariah. "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you." And there may be some of you who don't know this, who are asking, who is Zion and who is his daughter? Zion is that mountain that King David conquered 1,000 years before Jesus rode up there. That mountain where the city of Jerusalem was built. And the daughter of Zion is the bride. The same one we heard about last week, where the 10 virgins were waiting for the bridegroom to arrive. That bride, the church, the people of Jerusalem, the people who were waiting for the king promised to David, for the king promised to Abraham, for the king promised to Adam and Eve in the first place. That was the daughter of Zion, the people of God living in Jerusalem. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus did come to that mountain of Zion, to that city of Jerusalem, to the people who were waiting there, to the bride who was watching. But now that he has died and risen again from the dead, the gospel has brought both Jews and Gentiles into this one bride, into this one church through faith in Jesus Christ. And at the same time has kicked out any Jews who were there who refuse to believe in Jesus as their king. Zion is no longer located in a city or a country or a nation on this earth. Zion and the daughter of Zion are located wherever the gospel of Christ is preached, wherever the sacraments of Christ are rightly administered. There are believers in Christ. There the daughter of Zion is to be found. That's here. That's now. So listen, daughter of Zion, because God has commanded his prophet to write down words that you should hear. Say to the daughter of Zion. This is the ministry of the word that God is announcing through Zechariah. This is the ministry by which God reaches down from heaven to the world to crush the arrogant and to kill those who are secure in their sins. This is the ministry of the word by which God speaks grace to the humble, life to the dead, to give spiritual food to those whom he has brought to life through the baptismal water of rebirth and regeneration. Say to the daughter of Zion, say what? God has a message for you, Zion, right here in this book of Zechariah, quoted by St. Matthew. Behold, your king is coming to you. Behold, like looking out the window, and you're told, behold, he's coming. Who is he? He is your king. Your king. In a sense, Jesus is king of all. In a few weeks, we'll be singing Joy to the World. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. But most of the earth remains outside of the kingdom of this king, still in darkness, still beholden to the devil and his power, still part of his kingdom. Most people are governed by this king with his rod of iron and not with his shepherd's staff. And many, even some who now call him king, will bow down before him as king when he comes, as every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But they won't be confessing in humble faith. They'll be confessing in dreadful defeat. But now, before that day comes, he calls to you with these words of our gospel to believe in him as your king, who wants you to be in his kingdom, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done or not done, who has called you into his kingdom through the gospel and those baptismal waters, and even now keeps calling to you to remain in it, to trust in him as your king, who is mightier than every other king, than every other power or rule or authority. He calls you to acknowledge your sinfulness and to repent, to flee to him for mercy, because he is a merciful king who rode to the gates of Jerusalem so that he could take up his cross and die for your sins, no matter who you are. He did that, died for your sins, whether you believe in him or not. He did that so that you should believe in him and call him your king. Your king, Zechariah says, is coming to you. See, you don't come to this king. You don't reach up into heaven to bring him down. You don't climb up into heaven to find him there. You don't do the things that attract him to your door or make you seem like a worthy subject for him to have. Your king comes to you, not to receive gifts from you, but to give you his gifts and to give some more. Your king comes to you. He prepared it all from eternity. He prepared world history. He prepared the virgin's womb. He prepared the events that led up to his crucifixion and the events that led up to you hearing his gospel today. Even the waters that brought you into his kingdom, even the very wheat and the grapes that allow him to come to you today in his body and blood. He prepared it all. He comes to you. He comes to you humble, Matthew says. Zechariah also adds, he comes righteous and having salvation. Or as Jeremiah foretold, he comes to make Israel dwell in safety. He comes gentle, riding on a donkey. As Matthew points out, it's a beast of burden, not a war horse. Not meant to frighten you. Not meant to exalt him above you. He comes humbly, not exciting, but he comes nonetheless. Your king comes in the humblest way possible so as not to frighten you, but to move you to trust in him as your Savior and as your righteous substitute before God. The King of all, the Creator of all, comes not to receive gifts from you, but to give gifts to you, the gifts of righteousness, so that you can stand before God with a righteousness that doesn't come from yourself, but comes from someone else, from Him. He comes to give the gifts of peace and the forgiveness of sins. He comes to make you right with God, and to promise you an eternal kingdom that will never end. Isn't that better than Santa Claus? Honestly, Santa has a checklist. He checks it twice. He's going to find out who's been naughty and who's been nice. He'll reward the naughty ones with a lump of coal, and he'll bring a toy or two to those who have been good. Toys that will wear out, that will rust and decay, or soon be thrown away. He comes in a jolly red suit with a jolly red face, riding on a jingling sleigh, a magical ride that inspires children's fantasies and dreams. But your king is no fantasy. Your king is no dream. Your king doesn't just exist if you believe he exists. He's very real. He came in flesh and blood. He lives now in resurrected flesh and blood. He may have a list, but he doesn't need to check it twice. Everyone on it is naughty, not nice. But he doesn't come to reward you for your naughtiness, for your sins. He came to bear those. He came to suffer for those, which gave him an outfit that's red, but not festive red. It's blood red, stained in blood for our salvation. Your king comes to bring not perishable toys, but imperishable gifts of life and salvation, peace with God, and real security. Jesus is rarely, no, never described as jolly, sometimes stern, often, usually, serious, at times weeping, but also comforting and compassionate and joyful to come and meet his bride. Though she is sinful, he has washed her sins in his blood. So he comes joyful, not jolly. He doesn't come down to our houses through a chimney, but through bread and wine and word and water. And he comes not just once a year, but over and over and over again, wherever we need him and whenever we need him here in this church. So much better than any fantasy. Something real to prepare for as we prepare now for his coming. So prepare. Your king is coming to you, Zion. Cast off the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light as you prepare for his coming. Daughter of Zion, your king comes to you, and the season of expectation has begun. Lift up your soul to watch and to wait. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.